One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Red Men TV. Yes, it is the match preview show. It is Liverpool versus Fulham on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. I say, thinking I'm right without actually confirming that, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that's right. I'm Steve Hall, delighted to be joined by Sam Walker and by Dan Club for this one. Dan, the wheel goes, mate. It is. Liverpool play Thursday, Liverpool play Sunday. Here we go again. Another challenge coming off the back of a European game. But the Reds are at home against an opposition they should beat. Like, it's about as kind of fixtures you're going to get off the back of a European game, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we've got a couple of these now, haven't we, as well? Obviously, we've got this one, got Sheffield United midweek, and then Crystal Palace. So, although they come in very quick succession, that's sort of par for the course. Not only when you're in the Europa League, especially, but this time of year anyway, like, even the lads, even the teams that don't have European football are going to find themselves busy over sort of the next four or five, 6 weeks. So, we've got a squad now that's sort of conditioned to this and built for this, and a manager. Of course, Jurgen Klopp's been here long enough to know what this time of year is all about. It's a bit different back in Germany for him because they have a big Christmas break, don't they? They stop essentially in like two or three more rounds time, but the Premier League is a completely different beast. But I think Liverpool at their best when we have successful seasons thrive in these sort of environments and thrive when it gets hectic. We play our best footy. I've often sort of sat and looked at a month ahead and gone, God, that looks tricky. And then a month further down the line, you come out of it sort of smelling the roses and you go, tell you what, we're in a really good position now. So I'm kind of really excited for it, and obviously it all starts on Sunday, but in a way as well, we had the perfect sort of precursor to that last night, because obviously we got the job done pretty comfortably. It's meant we've got a nice dead rubber in Belgium in a couple of weeks time, and we came through pretty unscathed. So in terms of how it all started, it couldn't have gone much better, really.
Yeah, fingers crossed that it continues this weekend. Sam, it's interesting really, because before we speak about Liverpool, let's have a little look at Fulham. They got the first win in a while the other day. It was a big win that they got against Wolves, and it was late on as well.
Loads of controversy.
Honestly, Gary O'Neill must have stabbed the referee in his previous life, because honestly, God, Wolves.
Yeah.
If we think we get diddled by referees, Wolves are getting absolutely done in for. But Fulham get that win. It took them to 14th place. Obviously, they leapfrogged above. Nottingham Forest there. But like you can see the form table for those watching along there on the right hand side. They've won one before that. It was two consecutive defeats, a draw, a loss. Like, it's a different Fulham this time. Last year, Fulham were in a much better position. They started well and maintained that pretty much all the way through. This year, they've lost a few players. Marco Silva was having a cob on a little bit. Things haven't gone their way and they have struggled. So, Liverpool should be Fulham no matter what, really, but we're not getting the best Fulham currently.
No, definitely, and without that sort of talisman that they had last year, I think that is the difference.
Mitrovic.
Yeah, between being 14th and 8th, 9th, which is 7th, which is where they were floating around this time last year, weren't it? For me, I think what they fell into, which is actually testament to themselves, because they've only just come back up again over the last couple of years, is they're in that Premier League team, not a threat to the bottom three, not a threat to the top eight. That bulk, that Crystal Palace just surviving forever. You know, Forest have kind of got into there now, which in some respects for them is brilliant, because actually they've become like a solid Premier League team. Where they are now is at 14th, did you say? Slightly probably aided by Everton, I would imagine. It might be a place lower if they didn't get that deduction, but I think they're sort of one of those teams that'll feel quite confident where they are, won't really put too much pressure, especially away from home against the big teams. So for Liverpool, this should be one of those games where we're looking at thinking we should be really confident going into it, knowing that we've got a big gulf in quality in between the two teams.
It's quite ironic as well, Dan, because I think if you ask most people who Fulham's best player is, most people would probably say Paulinho.
Yeah.
He was actually suspended for the Wolves game. It was the first game they won for a long time. just the way footy works, he'd got himself 5 yellows. He's expected to be back. In terms of injuries, they're actually not too bad. Issa Diop's out. There's not too much going on at Dama Traore, thigh injury.
Thank God for that.
Oh, he terrified me.
I know. That's the big one, that's the
yeah. So we are getting. I know he had a bit of a cob on, didn't he? Marco Silva with the signings and Lakhov and Mitrovic going very, very late on. But no, Traore is the one, because I know he's. We've said it. We've watched Liverpool play him loads of times, and for the most part, right, he's crap. He's crap. But he runs there fast and he's strong and if things go your way on a counter or something, he has got the pace. They haven't got that threat, which is a good that does help Liverpool.
It does massively in a game whereby you'd expect Liverpool to dominate possession, certainly Anfield. You know, Traore does become a problem because as much as you're right, and his actual qualities end product is very often not there. When you have someone of that sheer electric pace and that power, it's a problem for you, because we've seen against Man City a couple of seasons ago, we caused them a whole manner of problems, certainly the Etihad. So I think him being missing would actually be and Klopp spoke about him in the past as well, glowingly, and Liverpool have been linked to him God knows how many times. I mean, never came to fruition, of course, but he does feel like somebody, if you're an opposition manager, or Klopp in this case, you would go into the game thinking, how do we stop him? Because it's just nigh on impossible to do. I mean, Virgil van Dijk's had some good success against him, because obviously he possesses very similar sort of pace and power, but there's no doubt about it. Like, if he was fit and available, we'd be making plans of how to sort of negate him. But in terms of Fulham, I think you're right. I think Palhinha is probably their best player, and when your very best player is a defensive midfielder, it kind of ties into the fact they don't score many goals, really, Fulham. That's their big problem now, without Mitrovic especially. So I go into this game very confident Liverpool should be able to get the job done, and should be able to get the job done relatively comfortably, because I think they're going to come, they're going to sit quite deep, try and be quite resolute. But we found a way now with our new way of playing and our new type of midfield, with more creators in there, in McAllister, Szoboszlai, obviously Gravenberch, Jones, whoever. We've got different ways of breaking down different teams now, and if you're going to come and sit deep, we'll just eventually weigh down and cut you apart, which is something we struggled to do previously.
Suppose I got off time on the Fulham thing, they've scored 13 goals in 13 games. Only Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton have scored fewer than them. Dan is right, they lost Mitrovic. The Raul Jimenez thing is what they went and tried. They tried other things and they just don't score loads of goals. And from a Liverpool point of view, listen, things can go badly wrong, you know, but what we do, we've won our last 10 home games by 2 goals or more, which is now another Liverpool record that they've just broken. They played 10 home games this season, they've beat the team by 2+ goals in every single one of them. Again, that's the type of opposition you want. If Fulham are a team who do struggle defensively, not great either, to be honest with you, but when the team comes to Anfield, you're always like, for example, if Mitrovic is but they'd always go for a goal. There's always someone and you think, you know what, he's all right. Brentford with Ivan Toney, you think you should beat them when he plays, but you know what, they go for a goal. They had a bit of a goal threat at Anfield recently, didn't get one. You know, West Ham are going to turn up with goals in their team for that cup game. It does feel like that's the thing that Fulham haven't got. Liverpool, even on an off day, tend to score a couple. It's hard to see Fulham scoring two when it's actually relatively simple to see Liverpool scoring two.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the big thing for me. It's the ability this season to be able to outblast teams, have more firepower, and that's what gives me confidence. Even if Fulham did get a scrappy goal early on, you've got full belief this season that we are able to get, and we have got the players that can open them up and get the goals to get the points in the bag at the end of the game. I think you mentioned there, one of the came to my end was always like Palace with Zaha, always that player. And when you talk about Traore, the ability to just break and run into space, whereas I'm looking at them thinking, who's going to do that? You know,
even Forrest, like Tyler Long,
exactly.
Who's
Gibbs White, but they haven't even got anybody really who I would put in that same sort of mould as Gibbs White, who's that young up and coming player who could probably have a higher ceiling than he's showing. They've got like Harry Wilson in there, Willian. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, you mentioned Jimenez. And they've got another striker as well. What's his name? The one who used to play for Spurs. These are guys who are good players in their own right, but none of them are going to give Van Dijk, Konate, Matt, whoever plays, nightmares. Do you know what I mean? I think we've just got to be professional in our work, and I'm absolutely confident that I look at this game and see it as a game that we could actually manage comfortably and get the job done quite early, because I think we've got, what was it, 9 changes the other day, so it gives us loads of energy in the bank to be able to get out there and match them for anything they've got, not having played this week.
I'm looking at the stats here, they've actually only had 7 players who've scored a goal this season. Williams top scorer with 3, they've got Cordova-Reed who's got 2, Palhinha has got 2 himself, then Pereira, Reem, Jimenez and Vinicius have all got 1 each, so actually 7 goals, they've only had 7 lads who've scored the goal. Liverpool have got 5 already, you've scored 5 goals. It does feel, Dan, like I say, if everything goes Liverpool's way, they should blast form away. But listen, they should. It is one of those that you've still got to do your job. Liverpool have got a couple of injuries and stuff like that. We'll talk about them later. But it does feel like an opposition Liverpool should be comfortably beaten.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. Of course, and again, certainly at home, there's two ways about it. When you are going into such a busy period of fixtures, you want to look at games like this, and indeed the two that follow immediately after, and look at them, and just to say you need to pick up maximum points, because we know after that it gets a little bit more difficult with the people coming to Anfield and stuff like that. So Liverpool have to go into this game feeling ultra confident they get the job done, and like Sam says, in quite sort of serene fashion, to a point whereby you can think about sort of resting and rotating in the final 15-20 minutes, whatever it may be. I certainly look at it in that way, because as we've all mentioned, Liverpool have firepower that should absolutely be capable, and I'm not even convinced about Fulham's defence. Like Tim Ream, you mentioned this, a D up there might be missing. I'm not, man for man, I'm not having them necessarily. I was quite shocked by how well did last season. A lot of that was driven by Mitrovic and just how brilliant Paulinho was. So yeah, I don't see any real major issues with this. I think Fulham will come, they have a game plan, they'll try and make life difficult. I think the second coming of Marco Silva has been quite impressive actually at Fulham, to be fair, and there was a lot of interest, a lot of talk about him going to Saudi in the summer, which he obviously refused to do. So but yeah, I don't sort of foresee any issues. Liverpool are anywhere near our A game. Probably don't even be quite at it. I see us getting through this one relatively comfortably.
Like you did mention, it is a different season. Liverpool rubbish last season, fun ago, but they drew at their place, beat them 1-0. It was a Mo Salah penalty at home. Was a difference. So it was a tight game. I think we'd all agree maybe a bit more comfortable. I'm going to ask you shortly, then, so we're going to try and pick a Liverpool team for this one. Obviously, Jürgen made 9 changes for the game last night at time recording against last. We've got options aplenty. Before we do that, we're going to give this away. That, if you can see it there, that is a captain's armband, and it is signed by Lucas Leiva. I don't know if you can pick that up on the camera. I promise you, Sam, you can verify.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's absolutely a signature there.
I watched him do it so I can definitely verify.
It was literally Dan who got it signed by him. Dan's son, actually, got it signed by him. This is day one of our Advent prize draws. Yes, each and every day in December between now and Christmas Day, we're going to be giving away a prize to one of our Red Men Plus Legend subscribers. It starts today with the signed Lucas Leiva armband. There's loads of boss prizes coming up over the next month. We've got a signed shirt, a shirt signed by Dirk Kuyt. We've got a programme signed by Jamie Carragher. We've got other signed stuff as well. The main prize on Christmas Day is a shirt signed by Liverpool's centre-half, Ibu Konate. So redmenplus.com, become a legend subscriber. It'll cost you $9.99 for the month. Basically, you get all access to all our amazing content as well. But worst case is you're paying $9.99 to be in 25 prize draws and getting the added bonus of listening and watching all of our extra content as well. It's an absolute no-brainer. I reckon if you were in a pub and there was a raffle on for an Ibu Konate signed shirt, I reckon everyone would just launch a tenner in.
Yeah, definitely.
To try and win that. It's effectively the same thing, but there's 24 other prizes. Well, at this point, 23, because this one's going to be gone in about 5 seconds time. But you get my point. So yeah, come check it out. And like I say, we've got loads of Red Men content coming around the Christmas period. But we're in production of our top 50 Liverpool signings of all time. Countdown loads coming your way. So yeah, get involved. In the meantime, I can bring up the wheel. It's full of legends. Look how full it is. It's chock full of legends. I'm going to click this button. We're going to spin this wheel, little drum roll. It takes ages. Let's have a little look who's winning the signed captain's armband, signed by Lucas Leiva. It is. Congratulations to Steve O'Bear. Steve O'Bear. Congratulations to you, Steve O. A fellow Steve winner makes me feel happy as well. We'll get in contact, mate. And that is on its way to you. Lucas Leiva's signed captain armband. Yeah, get yourselves involved. Redmenplus.com, be a legend. And we've got loads of prizes to give away over the next few weeks. The next, actually, we'll do two draws on Sunday at the game as well, so there you go, we've got you covered every step of the way. Right then, back to the game. Dan, I'll start with you. Jürgen, I mentioned before, made 9 changes and still actually put out a very good team against Lask. Obviously it was Mo Salah and Kostas Tsimikas were the two survivors from the starting lineup against Manchester City. So and by the way, those two both came off. So everyone, by all accounts, who we know is available. The big news, of course, is Alisson Becker's going to miss a Premier League game. There's no Diogo Jota as well. I mean, Thiago is still, that's a thing. Pochettino is just still out. But everybody else, for the most part, is fit and available for selection. So Jürgen has got quite a few headaches. He's got decisions to make at centre-back, centre-midfield, and even one of the forward positions as well. It's a nice problem for the manager to have.
Yeah, certainly is, yeah. And I think those sort of on the fringe of the side last night did themselves sort of no harm, did they? We look at Cody Gakpo and the way he performed. Even, you go as far as say Joel Quantu, I thought was outstanding again. I thought Konate had a strong night as well alongside him. So, yeah. And Gravenberch is probably the other one really screaming out. And indeed, Harvey Elliott, just, the list goes on, doesn't it? The more you think about it. Like, lads who aren't necessarily sort of nailed on for this Premier League stuff that's coming are absolutely sort of taking opportunities when they're given them in maybe the League Cup, the Europa League, whatever it may be. They are standing up to be counted and saying, I want to make myself part of your plan. So that's you mentioned it, it's such a good problem for Jurgen Klopp to have. He must be going into these selection meetings that they had before games and going, well, we can't select him because of him, but he's playing so well. It's just boss to watch, it really is. And it's what we want, it's what we need, it's what we lacked last season. How many times last season we're going into games and saying, well, it's got to be that midfield because they're the only three available. You know what I mean? It has to be them. They're not playing well. They're all crap. They're all stinking the gaff out, but they've just got to play. You know what I mean? That's not the case anymore. Now you've got lads who are probably going to sit on the bench on the weekend. They've just put an absolute shift in and been brilliant in midweek in the Europa League game. So, yeah, it's a tough one. I'm still, when it comes to defence, I'll start there. Obviously, Keller's going to start in goals. No two ways about that now with Alisson being out. Trent obviously comes back in at right back. I think Tsimikas survives at left back as well. We need to really be careful of his workload. I think he could be one of them we mentioned earlier. So if he can game manage later on against Fulham, I'd probably get Tsimikas off.
I'll be honest with you, mate. Right, I was thinking this before. I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play.
And he went Gomez there.
And he goes Gomez because he's got, well, they've got three games now. They play Sunday at two, midweek at Sheffield, and early kickoff.
And do you think this could be the one to miss because the Anfield expecting to be more comfortable? I get that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Gomez starts at left back.
But then he went Gomez at Luton, which feels a similar, it didn't work, but it does feel a similar type of game to what's coming in the Sheffield United and the Palace one, so maybe he holds back for that.
Also, Tsimikas never played the second game for Greece. So whereas a lot of our lads would have had that second game internationally and then the Man City game, he had that gap and then he's had what, 5 days, 6 days from City to Thursday, which is actually quite a big gap.
I personally would go Tsimikas with views to getting him off at the hour, the 70 minute mark, similar to last night, just to get him out.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Best.
I just, and that is something that we should mention. That Sam, like that is, I wonder how much of it plays in. It's a home game against Team Liverpool. Reckon they could beat. Listen, Liverpool should be Sheffield and United. Yeah, and should be away. But Liverpool's away record isn't brilliant even this year. So I do wonder if that plays into it. You know, if you're thinking about who can't play three games in a week, can Tsimikas, having played Thursday, he's probably not going to start one of these games. So that's what I was thinking. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes Gomez at left back.
Well, this week is one of those weeks where it actually is the three games in 7 days, isn't it? Because you've got the Thursday to the Wednesday. Because I know you sort of, sometimes you go Saturday and then to the Sunday. But this is actually literally 7 days, three games. So it's a big test. What I would say, though, is that
it's 4-9 if you think about it.
With the Saturday game, it's crazy. What I would say is that I think there's a lot of teams this year that have had to play their strongest team on the weekend, maybe make 2-3 changes for the midweek. Arsenal, City, United, Newcastle, Villa, Brighton. These guys have had to go 2 for nail. because they're not, the level they're playing in is about matched to where they're at with their squad, whereas we know where we should be in the Champions League, should we, let's be honest, with the squad we've got. So I think if Tsimikas has to play 5 games in 4 weeks, or say 3 weeks, 5 games, I don't think that's that big a problem, because he hasn't had that, you know, he was on the bench for a lot of the early part of the season. So I actually think that, although we're thinking he hasn't got all those minutes banked, so he could have a little stretch of a month where he plays a lot of games of football, because he's got that, he should have that in his legs.
He should have the energy to do that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
if it was Robbo, I think we'd be having a different discussion. So I think
if Robbo was fit, he wouldn't be playing this game. No. Tsimikas would be playing this game.
He would be playing this game because Tsimikas just played the other day. Whichever way you are. But yeah, and I think that's where it comes in. I think we have got to be careful, because what comes next is a big threat in terms of whether it's Gomez or whether it's Chambers, Scanlon, that's a big jump down. So we have got to manage him. But I also think Klopp will want him to play. He'll want him to get rhythm and want him to get more goals and assists to feel that confidence.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Virgil plays, Trent plays, Keller plays. Matip's going to play, isn't he?
Yeah. I think Matip's going to play.
Ibu did go off relatively early in the game. Jürgen said that was like a medical advice decision, basically a pre-planned
sub. Couldn't carry on,
Well, it was pre-planned sub.
He's not long come back, has
he? I think he wasn't injured. I think it was more along the lines of just be careful.
But that seems mad to me. And yes, you're right. But he's been back for a short period now, albeit. And it just feels like we're constantly walking this tightrope with Ibu Konate. I think he's a brilliant footballer. I would have him, and I've given up sort of picking him in my sort of Premier League sides now for Liverpool, because it's so often it's not him, it is Joel Matip. But I'm just at a loss as to why. And you're right, there was medical advice sort of pre-planned to get him off at a certain point. But are we ever going to not see that be the case for Ibu Konate? You know what I mean? Like, we got there with Matip, didn't we, eventually, whereby we had to just manage his workload, his minutes. We had to take him off a certain part in games. You couldn't play 2-3 games a week, whatever it was. And it feels like we're on the precipice of getting there again with Konate. And it's such a shame, because he's brilliant.
Question for you, though. If it was Gravenbach, Jones or Diaz or even Trent, and he'd had 3 weeks out and his first game back, would you expect him to play 90?
No, perhaps not. But then,
and I think that's all. When you've got the chance to go with 3-0 up,
yeah, I get
you just
that.
Do it, don't you?
Yeah, no, I get that. But how often we've seen this before with Konate?
We've seen him
sort of wrapped in cotton wool for longer periods than this, and it feels like, again, he's not going to start on the weekend. You wouldn't have thought, and that is that a fitness thing? Is that a form thing?
I think it's a form thing. Yeah. I think Matip's been better than him this season, and that is. I don't think it's even a question.
I think they've both done well,
I think Matip's been
really good defensively.
All five of them have been good.
Yeah,
genuinely, Gomez has been really good. Quans has been brilliant when he played. I think all five of them. Yeah. But I think on form, Matip deserves to start. I think he was brilliant against City again.
I love Ibu,
and I think I wouldn't be shocked if either of them play, but I think it's Matip's shirt. And Jürgen does do the meritocracy thing. And I think he'll be quite comfortable with Matip. He'll get injured at some point anyway, which he just will. And then Konate will be back in.
Just to finish on that, I also think when Virg is playing the football he's playing, that they're both quality players, so I don't think it matters. When Virg is just imperious, I think...
He's back Virg, isn't he?
As long as you've got a quality player next to me, it don't matter.
He takes a level up, doesn't he? We've seen how Joe Gomez in the year we won the league, and we've seen it likewise with Matty. Whoever's alongside him, Nat Phillips, Reece Williams, Virgil van Dijk is taking you up a couple of levels.
Absolutely. So, there's the defence. Midfield's a massive one. We got a comment before. It was from Yusuf. Do you reckon Endo should start this one? Because, again, I think that's more looking at... I think Yusuf's point is, like, Liverpool do have all these games coming up. Can Alexis McAllister go Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, 90 minutes? Maybe, maybe not. My guess is... Sam, I think Alexis probably starts.
Well, he didn't kick a ball, did he?
No, it makes no sense, does it, to not play him.
Two games off just doesn't. At that point, you're almost taking a player out of rhythm.
Yeah. And you've also got, with the way it falls for us, is we might have a period of a couple of weeks where it's quite intense, but then you have that. It's a week where it's quite intense, but then we have that Union game, which means nothing.
Yeah.
So you have that gap. So it's give us 3 games back to back, guys, between the lot of years, and then you can have a rest. So.
Before United,
and I also think Mac is all right,
the type of game it's going to be would suggest you'd rather a McAllister-esque player, because you'd imagine again Liverpool are going to dominate much of the possession, so you're going to want a more creative ball player in there as opposed to you might look at the midweek game of Sheffield United and say maybe we could get Endo in there instead and give McAllister some rest, or even the Palace game thereafter. I think those two are more suited to an Endo as opposed to Sunday. I think it's just McAllister Sunday.
I'd agree with that. Another player who didn't kick a ball was Szoboszlai. He'll play. Jürgen has got the shins to make on that other third one. Sam, I'll start with you then. He's got Gravenberch, he's got Elliott, he's got Jones.
Yeah.
Am I missing anyone? I mean, Gapo potentially. I don't see it because now we're down to four players. But He has got a decision to make in that third place. I'll be honest, I thought Gravenberch did well yesterday. I don't think Curtis had his best performance.
No.
Harvey Elliott had another really good game, albeit on the other side. But what are you sensing towards that third midfield role?
I feel like Gravenberch is the more talented individual player in terms of, listen, I think Curtis is a fantastic footballer, by the way. I really do, underrated. But I think he's got a high ceiling, Gravenberch. But I also see what Curtis brings to this team and how it unleashes others and makes the likes of Diaz or whoever's on the left wing or Szoboszlai on the right hand side have that freedom because they know and trust what he does off the ball. I saw a stat the other day, footballers have the ball for 3 minutes on average per 90 minutes. Like, and in fact, it was less than that. It was less than 3 minutes. It was like 2 minutes, 48 seconds. Mm-hmm. So Curtis Jones has the ball he's off the ball for the best part of 90 minutes. He's probably doing a better job than Gravenberch is, and it's frightening. It's off the ball. So I just think that he offers more balance to the side than Gravenberch does at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I just think he, with him playing, what was it, 85 minutes, and Curtis just sort of dipping his toe in, I just think it makes sense to, I mean, what are you really losing between the two?
The team, yes, they suggest it's going to be Jones.
Yeah.
Dan, because Gravenberch did play, he was there right the way through it. Mm-hmm. There's an argument saying, listen, go and batter Fulham, and who's more likely to create and score a goal? It feels like it's Gravenberch at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the team news yesterday suggests it's probably going to be Curtis.
Yeah, it does. I'm with you. My sort of heart says Ryan Gravenberch because I just love watching him play footy. I think at the minute he offers just that little bit of extra X factor, I think, what Curtis Jones does. But I don't think that's because of ability necessarily. I do think Gravenberch is just slightly more talented than Curtis Jones, as you mentioned. But I actually think it's more about an understanding of the role. And Sam's right in terms of the balance of Curtis Jones bring. It's like Curtis Jones has oversorted the back end of last season, sort of the last 10-15 games, obviously started this season. Something's just clicked for him in what Jurgen Klopp wants from him in that role, that extra bit of discipline, that positional sense. And Gravenberch doesn't seem to quite understand that yet. I don't think he's quite sort of mastered what Klopp expects of a Liverpool midfielder, and that's telling. I think there's a moment yesterday where Klopp had a bit of a go with him as well for something he wasn't doing. Maybe he wasn't tracking the run, his positional sense wasn't quite there. So it does feel like Klopp trust Curtis Jones a bit more right now, which is why we are seeing Gravenberch in the Europa League, in the Carabao Cup, whatever it may be. But when it comes to, like I said earlier, I mean, the Man City game was sort of the perfect example of that. We had Curtis Jones, I don't think he set the world alight during his part in that game. Gravenberch comes on and just glides flat past a few players, glides past Rodri for a goal and stuff like that, and he just offers that little bit extra spice, and it's exciting to watch. So heart-wise, Gravenberch, but I also think that he will go with Curtis Jones because, again, I just think Klopp knows what he's getting from Curtis Jones. He knows he's not going to let him down. He can trust him. He's going to do the hard yards as well as all the creative stuff. And I actually do think, I've said this for a while now about Curtis Jones, a bit Gino Wijnaldum-esque. I think he's playing within himself in that role because we all know he was a winger, came through the academy, who set the world alight all through the age groups, and he made things happen. But when he's playing now as an eight for Liverpool, he's just going, well, I can't, don't do that because Klopp doesn't want me to go and do that anymore. You know me, and he's doing it really well, so credit to him.
I think Jones will play. I would pick it up for me if it was me. I just want to,
I think we all would.
Let's just go get some goals. Up front in Testament, speaking of goals, some of the all scored yesterday. The three who started, Darwin, come on, didn't get a goal. Salah's going to play. 300th star for Liverpool, which is a joke. How Touchwood he stays how many games he plays. He's just a machine looking for goal 200.
Yeah.
Which he'll probably score. I'd be shocked if he'd, I'd be more surprised if he didn't get it. So he's in. Phenomenal achievement for Mo Salah. If he gets 200 goals in 300, he's an absolute freak. I think it's about 320 games altogether because Liverpool have used him off the bench in a couple of games. He's remarkable. He plays. The manager's now got two to choose from between Diaz, Nunes and Gakpo. Scores two. Diaz comes off, which might be a little bit of a hint. How do you see this one panning out?
I think with this one, obviously there's less opportunity. Jota's not available and he's not going to throw Doke in, is he? I was actually surprised at the amount of first team sort of squad players that played on Thursday.
I think he was desperate to make that union game.
Rightly so. But I thought we'd see Doke instead of maybe Salah, but obviously Salah. I think we all know Salah plays. I think the thing is with Nunes is that even when you go back to the City game, I know it's been covered to a T, but he's involved more than any player in the front line for both sides in more of the game, in the biggest game of English football, the hardest ground to go to and play in the world, maybe for us Real Madrid, but generally. And he's involved more than Haaland, more than Doku in the box anyway, more than who's on the right for them, for all of them. It's in the box, he's involved more than anyone. He's just a chance magnet. Yeah. He's so refreshing and dynamic. I think it's very difficult to not see him play games of football because he just must be an absolute nightmare to play against. Maybe not for the goalkeeper, but for the centre-halves and full-backs, it's like, what is this guy going to do? And Mo Salah must be rubbing his hands together going, this guy's pulling them everywhere and I'm just going to dip in the space behind. So I think he's got... I think Dan mentioned something before, off camera, wasn't it, about what Klopp had said, and I stand with it. Goals or not, Nunes just causes absolute murder for teams, so I think he's the guy for me on that number nine.
It could be interesting because Cody Gakpo could score a brace and be out, and he won the penalty as well. So it's unlucky, but he'll play all four of these. Will play in the next week. Three will start and one will come off the bench in every single game. They'll all get minutes provided they're all fit. I've got a sense. I think Nunes at home against Fulham feels a good fit. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Gakpo away at Sheffield United, for example, where you might want a little bit more control of a game rather than just being absolute madness. But Fulham at home, you can almost afford to have like a bit of Nunes-ness of the game. Because Sam's right, like he is a bit all over the place, but the ball always falls to him in the box. He always gets shot. He always gets shot off. So maybe Darwin with Diaz on the left.
I think so.
What we're edging towards.
Yeah, I do think that would be the case. I mean, as you mentioned, you can afford that chaotic. You can afford that. Because I think Liverpool has potential to run riot on Sunday. I think that'd be more difficult to do away from home, albeit against Sheffield United, who are really struggling down the bottom, of course. And likewise, Crystal Palace, so they're a little bit higher in the table. But I think this game does call for Darwin Nunes. And I think on merit as well, like, albeit Gakpo was absolutely outstanding last night, I thought he was probably my man the match. So him and Harvey Elliott sort of sharing that. Gakpo, and he laid a claim as well, Cody Gakpo, last night, we should say, because he himself spoke about his lack of form in the week and about the fact he's been played out of position. He's been played in different positions, not necessarily just out of position. But he obviously has seen this opportunity now with Jota being injured. He's gone one place up the pecking order and he's looked at it and gone, I can make a bit of a mark and I can sort of have a big say over the next few weeks. I think that's important because he needed that confidence boost. But yeah, I think when it comes to the way the game's going to pan out, if Liverpool are going to dominate possession like we all expect, I think having someone of Nunes's ilk leading the line is just perfect, because as Sam mentions there, he causes problems, a whole manner of problems rather. So yeah, I'd be all in on Nunes, but like you say, I think we are heading to a period now whereby we're going to need all of them, including some of the youngsters as well. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if we see even Harvey Elliott pop into the right hand side of the attack at some point over the next 2 weeks, because no Jota means we are going to have to be slightly more flexible. So they're all going to get chances, including Cody Gakpo, but yeah, I think it's Diaz and Nunes on Sunday.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that one. We'll see it all go. Quadpod in the Discord, he says, I'm not sure we Nunes starts. I think Sheffield defence, maybe do you save Darwin for that one? Gakpo for Fulham. Yeah, man, it makes sense. Like, there's no bad decision here, really.
Yeah, no,
Gakpo could easily play on the left wing if they want them to. We'll see how it all pans out. Yeah. But right then, we've kind of half picked the team between us. I'm not sure we all agree, but that sounds. Predictions, Sam?
Because of the week ahead, I was thinking a big result this weekend in terms of big numbers, but I actually think we'll manage the game. I'm going to go 3-0 because I think we won't need to score 4, 5, 6 because we've got games coming
up.
Salah
gets 200?
Yeah, I think Salah and Nunes get the goals between them.
200 up for Salah.
Nice. I had 3-0 in my head as well, so I'm going to stick with it. And yeah, Salah does get it. He gets the third of a 3-0 win after Dominic Szoboszlai and Darwin Nunes have scored.
Okay, sounds. Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 as well. I think we all do it. And as The Smoke, great name in the members in the chat, has gone Liverpool 3-0 as well. Yusuf's going for a 2-0. I think we're all in agreement. If it wasn't for Wednesday, we could batter Fulham. But I wouldn't be shocked if Liverpool do try and just get a goal and take a little bit of foot off the gas. I think they did that a little bit last night, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think they last with air for the taking if they really needed
it
to be.
But
I think we're all in agreement. Liverpool should, fingers crossed, go and be Fulham. Hopefully they do that. Do join us on Sunday. If you're not going to Anfield, come and join me, Errol and Dan for the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. That goes live at about 1:45 with the team news, and then about 1:45 will be me and Errol on the watch along. So if you're watching on your own somewhere in far flung part of the world and you need a Liverpool community to watch the game with, jump on the YouTube channel. It's an amazing community. Everyone gets involved. We have people from as far and wide, from Australia to America and everywhere in between, having a good old time. And yeah, basically our commentary is better than the TV as well, because we're biased. So do come and join us for that one. Like I did mention before as well, the Legends prize draws. We'll do the next two on Sunday around the game. So you've got a couple of days now to get yourselves involved. We've already given the signed Lucas armband away. There's plenty more signed memorability to come. So redmenplus.com, sign up as a legend, get yourselves in that draw. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to Dan. Thanks for you guys for watching or listening to this one. And we'll see you for the game on Sunday. See you in a bit.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.